Hear the top breaking news, plus the latest on business, politics, and more with the new WSJ headline skill for your Alexa smart speaker. Just say, "Alexa, enable WSJ headlines," to get started.
This is a special edition of Your Money Briefing for Friday, April 7th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Welcome to the second chapter in our Under Contract, Your Guide to Home Buying series. On our first episode, we went through the steps to get your personal finances in order to think about buying a home. But having your finances in order isn't enough to navigate one of the most complex housing markets in decades.
Let's get some more reaction to that weak number and what it says now about the health of the housing market.
A major shift in the housing market as home sales continue to fall.
The housing market cooling, rising mortgage rates, cold water in what was a red hot market in the past few years.
During the pandemic, the pendulum swung far in the direction of sellers as millions of city-dwelling Americans were on the hunt for more space, driving up prices. Fast forward to spring 2023 and interest rates are a lot higher, though they've come down a bit in recent weeks. And inventory, available homes for sale, is stubbornly low. That's reshuffled the balance of power between buyers and sellers.
The housing market is inching toward a more balanced market. But markets are local. Every city and every neighborhood is going to be very different.
Orfe Divungi is a senior economist at Zillow, the online real estate company. And he joins us to lay out the contours of the current housing market and what buyers should expect. Thanks so much for being with us, Orfe.
That's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Orfe, in the current market, we're seeing falling mortgage rates coupled with falling prices. Have we been here before?
Yes, we have. Historically, mortgage rates have hovered around 7%. Rates are roughly 6.5% today. But look, housing costs have risen rapidly over the last 3 years, but incomes just haven't kept up. And that means buyers have lost a ton of purchasing power over the last couple of years. Mortgage rates doubled over the course of 2022, bringing the typical mortgage payment on a home purchase 45% higher than it was just a year ago. And when you combine the price increases and the increases in mortgage rates, mortgage payments are now double what they were in 2020. And that means basically fewer home buyers are shopping. But the flip side of it is that for buyers who can afford it, they just won't see the lines out the doors that they saw in 2021 or the bidding wars on most listings. They'll have more time to shop when compared to a year ago. Competition for well-priced and move-in ready homes is still very rapid, very strong when compared to before the pandemic. And that's because inventory is still very, very low, 40% lower than it was before the pandemic.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the low inventory in a couple of moments, but buyers and sellers, they keep their eyes peeled on mortgage rates, and in many cases, the 30-year fixed mortgage rates. We often see them tick up or down on a weekly basis, but just help us understand this for a bit. What causes those movements in mortgage rates?
At any time mortgage rates dip, we see an increase in mortgage applications and housing sales. But it's very hard to predict where mortgage rates will go next. However, historically, the 30-year fixed rate tends to follow the yield on the 10-year treasury. And these longer-term rates depend on current inflation, but also the expectations about the economic outlook and where inflation is going to be. And let me just give our audience a small example. If I were to lend you money today, I would expect you to repay with a rate of interest that is sufficiently high to compensate me for whatever inflation is going to be at the time of repayment. So with inflation continuing to increase, lenders are going to expect a higher rate of return, and so mortgage rates will also increase. So that's why recent disinflation has also caused mortgage rates to tick down from 7% earlier in the year.
So there's a bit of a leading indicator to this.
Yeah, they kind of move together. But anytime you see inflation moving up or down, it's likely the yield on the 10-year treasury and mortgage rates would follow in the same direction.
So those are the numbers. But what does it actually mean for how to buy a home these days in the U.S.? Is there any place that's still affordable? That's coming up after the break. Buying a home is one of the biggest financial moves you might ever make. And finding a place right now comes with all sorts of challenges. Interest rates are trending higher, but buyer competition hasn't gotten much easier. So what do you need to know to buy a home in spring 2023? The Wall Street Journal's Your Money Briefing podcast is breaking it all down in a special weekly series, Under Contract, Your Guide to Home Buying. We've got personal finance and housing experts on getting the best rate, avoiding common mistakes, and a whole lot more. Just search for WSJ Your Money Briefing wherever you listen to podcasts. Unless you're paying cash, a few percentage points on a mortgage rate can mean the difference between being able to afford a new home or having to spend more time renting. I asked Zillow's senior economist Orfe Divungi who has the upper hand right now, buyers or sellers?
Yeah, I think the housing market is inching toward a more balanced market. But markets are local. Every city and every neighborhood is going to be very different. Seeing that competition is still very strong in the most affordable markets, and for affordable homes. When it comes to sellers, the high rates are discouraging existing homeowners from listing their homes. New listings are 22% lower than they were a year ago. But those who decide to sell are in a very good financial position.
But those are national trends. What about where you want to live? We checked out some numbers from the mortgage data firm Black Knight, and they show that the national housing market is made up of smaller, distinct local markets, with a sharp divide in home price trends between the eastern half of the U.S. and the west. So let's take a little cross-country tour with WSJ housing reporter Nicole Friedman. Nicole, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So Nicole, where does this dividing line run, and how big is the disparity between east and west?
Yeah, so there's really almost a line right down the center of the country. And so when we look at the 50 biggest metro areas in the U.S., basically, all of the ones in the Mountain West, on the West Coast, and then also Austin, Texas, are down year over year in terms of home prices. This is January data from Black Knight. And so we have San Francisco and San Jose, prices are down more than 10% in each of those cities. In Seattle, prices are down 7.5%. And then in all of the major metro areas in the Midwest, Southeast, Northeast, and also the big cities in Texas besides Austin, those are all in January. Prices are still up year over year. And the highest is Miami, where prices were up 12% in January from a year ago. They were up 9.3% in Orlando. They were up 8.3% in Buffalo, New York. So the difference between the cities with the biggest price gains year over year and the cities with the biggest price declines is pretty significant.
So what's causing this broader deep decline between the eastern U.S. and the western U.S.?
So the prices are diverging in different parts of the country, which in some ways is a return to normal. Typically, different regions of the U.S. have different patterns in their housing markets, and there's some regions that are strong and others that are less so. What we saw during the pandemic was that basically every single part of the country, prices were soaring. It was a very widespread housing boom. And so now that there's a big slowdown in the housing market, it's kind of hit these Western cities first and particularly hard. In the West, were already some of the most expensive in the country. And so there's really been an affordability crunch for home buyers there now that interest rates are higher. And also a lot of these cities did see big price gains during the pandemic as a lot of people moved into some of these places like Phoenix or Las Vegas, and that made prices there more unaffordable. And now prices are declining as demand has dropped.
Is there a blueprint to follow here? Have we seen this before?
So in general, it is not out of the norm that different parts of the U.S., their housing markets are behaving slightly differently. But analysts and economists I've spoken to say they've never seen like quite this type of east-west divide where there's really this line down the center of the country. So that is a little bit of an unusual pattern. It is unprecedented. And in general, in the housing market right now, there isn't necessarily a playbook. That interest rates over the past year rose so quickly and much faster than interest rates have risen in the past. And so the effects on the housing market are unprecedented.
How is this divide impacting home buyers and the broader housing market?
So, as everybody in the real estate industry loves to say, real estate is local. And it really only matters what's happening in your town, in your neighborhood, where you're looking to buy or sell. So for some buyers, they are maybe benefiting slightly from a drop in home prices. Maybe it's easier to negotiate. Maybe they can put in an offer under the listing price, get concessions from a seller. In other parts of the country, especially on the East Coast and the Southeast and Northeast, there are places where it's still very competitive for home buyers. They are still getting into bidding wars. They are still having to bid over asking. So in general, for buyers all over the country, it's more expensive to buy a home than it was during the pandemic because mortgage interest rates have climbed so much. But the conditions in terms of how competitive it is and how much inventory there is really right now quite variant depending on the location.
Housing reporter Nicole Friedman, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
The issue of low housing inventory was recently addressed by Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell.
There's a tremendous amount of supply in the housing market of unfinished homes. And as those come online, inventory of finished homes that are for sale is incredibly low, historically low. So that it's still a very tight market. So prices may keep going up for a while, even in a world where rates are up. So it's a complicated situation. We watch it very carefully.
So how did this happen? I asked Orfe Divungi from Zillow how we got to this point of so little housing inventory.
So right after the global financial crisis, a little bit over 10 years, I think builders took a big step back. And right before the pandemic, we saw that people needed more space. And so you have these factors. You have this large generation of millennials coming of age trying to buy homes. You have mortgage rates falling right at the start of the pandemic. And so those factors combined with a very low housing inventory meant that prices just soared, right? So we have a combination of housing shortages, low home building over the course of a decade, perhaps due to some of the losses that builders incurred during the global financial crisis. You combine that with the rapid increase in housing demand, and all of a sudden we find ourselves with huge shortages and rapid price increases during the pandemic.
But besides actual home prices, where else are we seeing nagging inflation that home buyers need to keep track of?
Look, everything's so much more expensive today, but wages haven't kept up. For buyers, they need to come to the realization of what it is that they can actually afford. Prices are very high, mortgage rates are high, and so knowing what you can afford should be step one. But most importantly, I think it's important to finance first. And financing first means working with a mortgage professional who can help you improve your credit. A higher credit score will save you thousands over the lifetime of a loan, but also take advantage of down payment assistance. Every area in the country has different local down payment assistance programs that could end up saving you a lot. And so buyers need to be aware of that. They need to work with a mortgage professional and take advantage of what's available to them. Last but not least, hire an agent. A real estate agent will help you find the homes that fit your requirements, but also that fit within your budget.
All right, that's Orfe Divungi with us, senior economist at Zillow. Orfe, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you. Anytime.
Those national averages are just that. Next week on the third chapter of Under Contract, Your Guide to Home Buying, we'll explain how to get a mortgage rate that could be a lot lower than average. And that's it for your Money Briefing this week. We were produced all week by Ariana Osperu. Today's episode was mixed by Jess Fenton. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy, and our executive producer is Chris Zinsley. I'm your host, J.R. Whalen. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.
Set up your Alexa smart speaker with convenient access to important news using the WSJ Headlines skill. Discover the top breaking U.S. and world news stories, plus the latest on business, politics, and more with this new series of voice commands from The Wall Street Journal. Hear the day's top headlines and quickly add stories from custom reading lists you can access later. Just say, "Alexa, enable WSJ Headlines" to get started.